In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I would venture to say most people don't really like that gospel reading. We want to identify with the early birds who got there eager to work all during the day, even if it was going to be scorching hot. An honest day's pay for an honest day's work. And then these layabouts come in at the last moment. Surely they won't be esteemed as much as we are. Surely their reward will be less. Hey, what's he doing? Do you see this? Do you see how much he's getting? They're getting paid more than us. What's going on here? That's who we see ourselves with. The reality, though, is we ought to thank God because we're in that last group. Each one of us actually does come late to the party. Because each one of us is a miserable sinner in God's sight. Let's face it, if we start thinking of ourselves as the best and brightest, we kind of miss the point of the need of salvation. Rather than worrying about what someone else is getting, we should be thankful for what we have been given. We're the ones who haven't done as much as others have. None of us is perfect. Each of us has fallen short of the glory of God. I more than most of you. And so rather than being envious, I'm grateful. Of course, you can choose to side with the early birds. Of course, then the lesson would be you should have stayed in bed. You could have gotten as well as others did. We do want to labor for the kingdom of God. We do want to please God. And not because it'll make God love us more. God loves us more than we can imagine, than we can even endure if we knew the depths of it. So we're not trying to get God to love us. That already happens. We're trying to live into that love. We're trying to live lives of gratitude. We should, at any rate. Ours should be a posture of, we came late, Lord, but we're here, and we thank you for having mercy on us. You'd almost think we're in Lent. The thing is, though, when we start identifying with the first group, and we look around us, then we start thinking of others as being unworthy of what we were worthy of. And yet, we're not. By our own merits, we are not worthy of what God has given us. It's only through the merits of his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we are able to stand before God. It's not by our own work, but through God's grace. And it's good to be reminded of that. Although all too often we find ourselves in the position of Jonah. I love the story of Jonah. Ever since I was a small child, I was enthralled with the idea of the great fish swallowing somebody. Then you watch Pinocchio and you realize it happens all the time. It's only 4 chapters long, and if you haven't actually sat down as an adult and read it, I would encourage it. And then watch the VeggieTales version. Seriously, it is an incredible telling of the story of Jonah, and it captures every detail and nuance, and especially the idea that Jonah is not a nice guy. When God calls him to go to Nineveh, he refuses. And not because of his own personal safety, it's because he doesn't want Nineveh to be saved. He can't stand Nineveh. Nineveh is obviously deserving of God's wrath and destruction. And if anything, I want to be there to see it happen. But no, I know what's going to happen. God is generous. God is great. I'm going to go there. He's going to forgive them. And they're not going to get what I think they got coming to them. And instead, he runs the other way, heads for Spain. Of course, we know the story. God will have none of that. Causes a great storm. The sailors try to row to shore, and they're praying to their gods for their lives. In the VeggieTales version, they're trying to use an outboard motor. It's very funny, but very true to the story. And Jonah says, throw me overboard. I know whose fault this is. Let me die. There are several times in these 4 chapters in the book of Jonah that Jonah wants to die. So he gets thrown overboard, great fish captures him, and in the belly of the beast, Jonah prays and thanks God for being a God of second chances. And the irony is just dripping, that God has given him a second chance, but he didn't want God to give Nineveh a second chance. Jonah had decided they were not as worthy as he. And that's the danger. Even once the great fish spits Jonah up on the shore and he goes into Nineveh and does what God had sent him to do, he does it reluctantly. It takes him 3 days to walk through the city. It's so large. And he goes through and tells them, yeah, repent. God's going to get you, half-heartedly. And yet they listen. The king declares a fast. All the people, all the animals even, will not eat as they pray for forgiveness. And Jonah hears them and thinks, I knew this would happen. They're not going to get it. Maybe they don't mean it and God will really see through that. I'm going to go sit up here and watch and see what happens. He builds a little booth and he sits there. Nothing happens. During the night, God causes a bush to grow up and give him some shade and he enjoys it. Oh, this is nice. Maybe God is going to do something and I got a good seat. This should be good. And nothing happens. Except a worm comes, gnaws on the bush, kills the bush, and then Jonah's really mad. Yeah! I had this nice bush and now it's dead. I don't know if you ever listened to him. There's a comedian named Louis C.K. who's rather vulgar, so maybe you shouldn't, but he is funny at times, and he tells this story of being on an airplane flight when Wi-Fi on airplanes was a very new idea. They had never experienced it before, and they came on and said, good news, for this flight, you'll have Wi-Fi. And if you've ever been on a long plane flight, having Wi-Fi is a beautiful thing. It gives you something to do to while away the hours. And so they all get out their phones and laptops and such and are settling in to watch movies and things. And about 10 minutes into the flight, the Wi-Fi goes out. It's still new technology. And Lewis talks about the guy sitting next to him who got so mad. God, I can't believe this. Why can't they keep the Wi-Fi up? And he's like, you didn't know this existed 10 minutes ago. And now you're so upset. If we're going to tell Jonah in a modern setting, that's it. This bush didn't exist yesterday, and now you're mad it's gone. And yet this city of 120,000 people and animals, you're not happy to see it saved. You don't want to see people turn and become better. You're mad because they didn't get what they deserve. Justice is getting what you deserve. Grace is not getting what we deserve. We don't deserve God's grace and God's love. And yet it's given to us freely. Well, at least for us. We didn't pay that cost. God himself did. Becoming incarnate, becoming one of us, and suffering death on the cross, God pays the price for that free gift for us. So instead of being worried if somebody's getting something they're not entitled to, we ought to be grateful that we get what we're not entitled to. God's love, God's grace, and live lives in thankful gratitude that we don't get what we deserve. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.